Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, to our guest again. We are so honored that you are with us today, and it's our prayer that you will be blessed and touched. We started a little series on Wednesday night, or actually we started part two of a series called Spiritual Warfare. And we dealt with this a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, and we talked about spiritual warfare. We mostly dealt with ourselves and understanding we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spirits, rulers of darkness in high places. And we tried to look in and learn and define what was spiritual warfare and what was just battle within ourselves. And I want to tell you, you'll never receive a greater victory, a greater power in your life than when you truly get that comprehension that most of the things in which we fight against are not spirits at all. They're just our carnality. Everything evil, the Bible says, every evil thought, every evil deed, every evil way does not come from without. It comes from within. That's why the Bible says that we are tempted when we are drawn away from our own lust enticed. The only power Satan has with you is what's already in you. So if you will make up your mind that I will crucify this flesh every day that I get up, he will lose his power in your life. Hallelujah. How do I do that? Psalms tells us we do that through the word of God. How does a man make his ways righteous? How does a man make his ways right? But through thy word, O God. When we get in this word, we learn this word, digest this word through the power of the Holy Ghost and begin to live this word, we will conquer every advantage that Satan has in our lives. And then we can start having real spiritual warfare. Now we can really go to war with this guy and start seeing results in our families and our loved ones, our workplace. Okay, I know you're standing. Ephesians 6 and 12. For our wrestling, this is slightly different version, but if you have King James, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world, the rulers of this darkness and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, the word of the Lord says. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not my enemy. You are not my enemy. Amen. Some of y'all probably came to church today mad at one another. Now you know. Now you know. You are not my enemy. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Praise God. Put your Bibles down. Let's pray for a second. Father, thank you. We need you today. Lord, you have given this message today to get in our hearts and in our minds, God, that we might begin to war against the adversary, go into spiritual warfare, drive back the power of darkness, Lord, and of evil that is in this world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God, we are the church and we are triumphant. Help us to walk in that victory and in that power in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I am an overcomer. God bless you. You may be seated. Man, one more time, clap your hands to the Lord in victory. Come on, a real big hand clap of praise. Wednesday night, we just barely peeled back the surface of this, and we're really just going to barely touch it again today. But I feel like the Lord has given us something to learn, to add to Wednesday night here today that's going to be powerful and important for us. So what did we talk about on Wednesday real quick? We just dealt with the fact that we are in war. Somebody say, we are in war. Say, there is a spiritual war. I normally don't listen to the news on Sunday. I like to keep my mind clear, but I got in the car today. I turned it on, and my radio is usually always tuned to news. My wife can't stand that. No one can except my daughter. I've got one convert. Where's Hannah? All the way in the back. We listen to news together all the time. Can you imagine that? There's got to be something psychologically wrong with that. So I cranked the car up and the news was on. I could tell immediately that something had happened that I was unaware of. So I decided that I would stay with it just for a few more moments. I don't know exactly what time it was. Somewhere around 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. There was an attack on a bar in Orlando. I think they identified it as a gay bar. And they're finding out that it was an individual associated with Islamic radical terrorism or whatever you want to call it. And 20 people dead and 40 wounded brought to the hospital. But that's not what really got my attention, because you're going to be seeing that, a lot of that, by the way, in the days to come in your little safe haven called America. They're everywhere, and the end of the world is coming. And we preached it last week. Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. And I don't know what all we're going to see, how long the church is going to be here and what all we're going to see. I just know I want to be ready. Listen, today is not the day to play around with your Christianity. Today is not the day to play around with your salvation. Today is not the day to try to teeter-totter and decide whether you're going to live for God or not. Not today. Not today. No, today's when you get in with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your might, all your strength. You give it everything you got, everything you are. You give it all. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil's giving it his all, and these radical, crazy people out there, they're giving it their all, and they're not going to hesitate to persecute you or kill you, and they might kill me today on the way home, but I'm going to open up my eyes, seeing the eyes of Jesus Christ. That's what you need to make sure is right in your life. Brother Corinthian had it right here today. What you need to make sure you know before you leave here today is that you are ready to see Jesus. Ready to see Jesus. I was listening to that article, and there was a point in there that, oh man, it was so powerful. They were interviewing someone that wrote a book on this subject about radical Islam and terrorism and attacks and all that good stuff. And he wrote a book on it. And then he made a comment. He said, you know, there was a day when we were able to sit back in the comfort of our homes and say in our minds that the people that are on the front line of this war were over in another country somewhere, and that the soldiers were a part of one of the armed forces. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody is on the front line of this war. There is nobody that's not in this battle. And when I heard him say that, I got to thinking about what I was going to be preaching here today, that the Lord and I have been focusing on all of this week and last week. And I said, God, that's how it is in the church. We don't have the luxury of sitting back and saying Pastor Kyle and Pastor Sapp and Pastor Powell and the other ministry and the Sunday school teachers and whoever it may be, they'll protect us. They'll pray over us. They'll go on the front line. They will fight the battle. I want to tell you, that luxury's gone. When you walk out that door, you are on the front line. Because the devil wants you. He wants your children. He wants your marriage. He wants everything about you. He wants to destroy everything with you that he can. When you walk out of this building, you are in war and you are on the front line. Come on, if you believe that, give a shout to God. He's your king. He's your master in arms. He's your mighty God. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him war. Tell him front line. Front line. Spiritual warfare is summed up in these verses. Spiritual warfare in a nutshell. Acts chapter 26, verse number 15. And I'm not on my notes yet, Sister Dawn. I'll get to them a little later, almost there. The word of the Lord says, and I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is spiritual warfare in a nutshell. What is spiritual warfare about? It's to go out into darkness and to get a hold of those that are blind and bound, and to bring revelation to them, and to shine the light on them, and to turn them from Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Tell your neighbor, I am a warrior. I am a warrior. And so we're going to talk about this spiritual warfare again, and we're gonna call this, for tape reasons, spiritual warfare. Entering, everybody say entering into the war. Tell your neighbor, draft it. But it's a volunteer draft. Oh, yes, it is. But getting into the war. You say, well, I'll just stay out of it. I already told you a moment ago, you can't stay out of it. You're surrounded by it. It's everywhere. The best thing you can do is get your armor on, sharpen your sword, and go to battle. That's how you're going to stay alive. But not only are you going to stay alive, you're going to save somebody else. You're going to deliver somebody else. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Ephesians tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, against the world, the rulers of this darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where in heavenly places. In the spirit realm, there is both good and evil. Say, there's good and evil. Look at your neighbor, say, I am good, and you are good. You're good. Yes. Those of you that said, and you are evil, pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. But we're not good in our own righteousness, are we? We're righteous. Why? Because he's righteous and he's in us. It's not our good deeds, it's his good deeds. Okay, let's get into this a little bit. We live in a world where there is good and evil. There's nothing you can do about that. There is no remote island that you can go to and hide from evil. You know why? Because the evil is in you. You can't hide from your own evil thoughts and your own evil deeds and your own evil lusts and your own evil wants and your own evil acts. The only thing you can do about it is get the power of God in you. Let him wash your mind with his word. Let him infiltrate you with his power and crush the flesh and get upon your feet in his righteousness and his goodness and go to battle. Lord, I hope I get somewheres here today. You know what they tell you? Get up, Brother Powell. Put your iPad down. I want to break it. You know what they tell you? Come on out a little bit, buddy. You out on them. I don't knock you back too far. Hit you over that chair. Come on out a little bit more. You get out on the football field, and this is how you're going to get hurt, right? If this big old man, go ahead and beef up a little bit. This big old man coming at you, and you get up there, come on at me just a little, and you try to avoid him because you don't want to get hit, what's going to happen is you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt because they're going to catch you off guard. You're not going to be ready. They tell you on the football field, and I know I played football, all 121 pounds of me. I used to try to have big old boy, bigger than you, Brother Powell. Can imagine that? Bigger than you. About as big as Brother Steven out there. Stand up, Steven. Oh, my God.
No, stay standing up just for a second. I went up to him. I shook his hand. I said, looks like you're shrinking a little. He said, no, I'm not shrinking. I love you, man. God bless you. Come on, brother pal. I'm going to tell you, they taught me what you got to do, boy. It don't matter how little you are. When you get out there and you all wrapped up in your little baby clothes, because they had to give me the little kid's uniform, you know, tiny helmet. Children. The best thing I could do, no matter how big he was, I just had to hit that boy with my shoulder as hard as I could. Even though we never went that way, we always went back the other way. Because they just kind of ran over me. And that's how you got to do it in this thing. You can't dodge this. You can't duck this. You can't play in your little safe corner. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get hurt. Your marriage is going to get hurt. Your kids are going to get hurt. Your family's going to get hurt. Everything's going to get hurt. The best thing you can do is put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins about with truth. Put on the feet of preparation of the gospel. Draw your sword of the Spirit and get in the battle and go to war. Because you will win. You will win. You will win. We live in a world where there is good and evil. And there is nothing you and I can do about that. Adam took care of that. His precious wife Eve. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Everybody say, all power. Say, all power. I want you to get that in your head. Say, all power. I want to tell you, when somebody gets up and preach about spiritual warfare and they start talking about the devil and demons like pastor's going to do here in just a moment, you don't need to cower down in your little seat, because you're master of arms, you're king of kings, you're leader, you're sergeant if you please, you're battle command. He has all power. You live in a world where there is good and evil, and there is... at least appears when we study the Word of God and we get into it and we look at it, there is an organization going on. There is, it's organized in heaven and it's organized in hell. I'm sure it's a lot more organized in heaven than it is in hell, because you have a tough time keeping things organized when everybody's full of pride and everybody's full of greed and everybody wants position and everybody wants power and everybody wants recognition. And that is the very basics of the devil and the spirit of the devil and all of his demons. But to the best of their ability, the Bible does show us that there is some rank and there is some order. Ephesians 1 and 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, would and believe according to the working of his might power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Where? In heavenly places. For above what? All. Somebody say all. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the one to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. We are in spiritual war. There is good and evil. But I'm here to tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you are on the winning side. Oh, I wish somebody would get a little bit more excited about that. Come on, send up a praise. Send up a praise. All right. Now we're going to try to look into this just a little bit. In this hierarchy of spiritual warfare, or just the spiritual realm in general, we know and we read about them, there are what is called angels. Now, you could stop and teach on angels for weeks. We don't have time for that. The title angel is mentioned 192 times in the King James Version of the Bible. It is derived from the Greek word angelos, and it means a messenger or an envoy, one who brings good tidings. Therefore, the Bible sometimes refers to the pastor as an angel or one bringing good tidings. But it also means a messenger from God. Anything sent from God to bring a message is in the category of an angel. The Bible also talks about demons. It comes from the word demonion, which is translated devil in the New Testament of the King James Version. It means to be divine or supernatural in power, yet subordinate to the Almighty God. The Bible defines demons also as fallen angels from heaven. And so we understand that we have angels which belong to God. We'll touch on that a little more later. And we have demonic spirits. And so with that understanding, we now come into this grip that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when we look into this verse, and we'll spend just a couple of moments here, this word principality that we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but when we go into spiritual warfare, we are beginning to war against principalities of darkness. The concept of principality is revealed through the Greek word that is used here. The word is archi. What it means is to be a chief or a ruler. And therefore, this word has given us a little bit of understanding that there is some kind of order or some kind of a hierarchy, that there are princes we see later in the Bible of darkness and rulers and chiefs and territories in the Word of God. And we see this, the ruling power involves a lot of times a particular nation, in some verses a particular person, and in some verses a particular race. And so, other words, the demon and the princess seem to operate according to a type of geographic boundaries. Demons are not omnipresent. That means the demons that are in America are not in Europe. They are not in Africa. They are not in Russia or Australia. It is a different set of demons. I'm not saying they can't go to and fro. I'm sure they do. But they are not omnipresent. And the devil is not omnipresent. The chances of him being here today right now in this building is slim. Although I have been picking on him a lot lately, he just might simply come by. I don't know. But I doubt it, because the room's full of Holy Ghost tongue talking, God fearing, blood washed, Jesus' name sanctified people. I know if I was the devil, I wouldn't want to be here. And if I had to be here somewhere, I'd be on the outside of them doors. That goes for the other three of you that are still in here. Go on, get out of here. All right, put your hands together for the Lord. He's incredible. So demons are angels that have fallen. They are evil angels ruling in the kingdoms of this world. And they oppose the truth of God and the ways of God. And of which Satan, of course, is the chief prince of all of these. He rules over them. And the Bible gives him many, many, many names that we talked about at another time. The American Heritage Dictionary defines principalities as this: a territory ruled by a prince, which or from which a prince derives his title. This position of authority or jurisdiction of this prince and his sovereignty. And so the idea of a demonic prince controlling a geographical region is supported in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. In this chapter, an angel tells Daniel that he had been withstood by who? By the prince of Persia. We don't have time to get into all of that. Just a small, small foundation. But again, let me iterate to this church here today. I don't talk about these things for you to fear. I just want us to get a little bit of understanding that when we walk out into war, that we understand that there is territory and that you're going to walk into places and you're going to feel totally different spirits and a totally different atmosphere. And that's because there's different demons that are there. What happens? Have no fear. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in that atmosphere. And since God gave them power over all power, and since his name was exalted higher than all jurisdictions, all principalities, it doesn't matter what demon is there. It don't matter where you're at. When you speak the name of Jesus, when you go in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you are washed in the blood, I want to tell you what gives the adversary power in your life. That is unrepented sin. Because when you walk into an area and there is unrepented sin in your life, and there are things that you're doing that you know are wrong, and you're just simply not willing to make them right, he'll begin to bring condemnation. He'll begin to speak and arrange things and bring guilt, and you'll lose your power and your authority. Before you go to attack something, just get down on your knees and say, God, you know my heart. You know everything about me. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me, God. Put your power. Get up. Then get up. Draw your sword. Go to battle. Because God needs you. Your family needs you. Your neighbor needs you. So there's principalities. There's powers. The Greek word for power is ousia. Something really close to that. It conveys the idea, again, of a jurisdiction, rights of control of an area, the right to do something in a certain area. And in keeping with the context of this definition, we see how this is, again, dealing with demons being in rule of territory. And then the Bible talks about rulers of darkness. This Greek word here is skotos, which means shadows or dimness or darkness or obscurity. This word addresses the dimensions of spiritual arrogance of these demons that we are coming against and ignorance of these demons. It is through these powers that they deceive the minds of men and women. It is what has brought about false religions and what's brought about the belief and the study of voodoo and witchcraft and all of these evil worships. And they invent idols. They did it in the Old Testament and they do it in the New. And demons are worshiped through the names of these idols. You see, it is the very foundation of who they are. They have become connected to Lucifer himself, to Satan, to Beelzebub. They are of that one spirit. They are desiring to be worshiped. But there's only one worthy of my worship, and there's only one worthy of your worship. And I'm here to tell you, Satan does not have the power to make you worship him. And when you lift up your hands and you begin to praise your God, you weaken him, you drive him out, you drive him back. He loses his grip. Let me stay here just for a moment. To all my precious young people, there's not an old person, including myself, in this building that has not gone through everything that you're going through. Every temptation, every failure. I know the devil wants you to convince that us old people that we don't know anything. But The unique thing about the nature of humanity is it never changes. Huh? Your toys are different, but the nature is the same. And the demon and the temptation is the same. And Satan wants to battle you, and he'll see a failure in your flesh. You'll yield to something on the inside of you, and then you'll feel guilty. You know, first he tempts you by what's already in you, and then when you yield to it, then he begins to belittle you. The same one that talks you into it turns around and starts calling you a no good for nothing piece of trash. Jesus don't love you. You're worthless. And what will happen is he's trying to steal your worship. Because if you don't worship him, you're going to worship something. Because it's your nature, and he knows that. And his desire is to get your worship in some kind of form or fashion. And so I encourage you as your pastor today, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how much you have fallen. I don't care how much you've messed up. I don't care how guilty you feel. Throw your hands in the air and worship your God. Because when you do, you defeat the devil in your life. Give your God praise. Our praise to him is never based on our worthiness. Our praise to him is based because he is always worthy. Somebody give your God praise. Somebody give your God praise. I'm telling you, when we praise God, it's the shout in the middle of the battle. When we praise God, the enemy begins to tremble. Power goes up. Power comes down. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. No wonder he wants to keep you out of church. All right. We got to keep going. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We know they're called the rulers of darkness. He's called the prince of air, the god of this world. He's called a lot of things. But the dark kingdom is not the only kingdom. See, there's a light kingdom too. In fact, I think the Bible says in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. There's a light kingdom as well. You see, Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. And when he overcame death, hell, and the grave, this vessel that God had chosen to manifest himself to humanity, when it chose death instead of life, and it really let itself be sacrificed, it was placed in the grave, went down to hell, got the key. The devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Whenever the devil wants to go home, he's got to look up at God and say, would you let me in? Who's got the keys? Jesus didn't keep those keys. He gave those keys to the church. Somebody shout hallelujah. I can walk into any room. I can go anywhere. There is no devil that can hinder you or hinder me. Oh yeah, it's spiritual war. It's spiritual suicide for the devil. Oh, I'm going to get this in you. Come on, you're too quiet. You got quiet. You got quiet. You've been hearing too much voodoo preaching. You've been paying attention to too much witchcraft. You've let the devil and the government and the world convince you that darkness has power over light. But it doesn't. He's convinced you to say to yourself, oh, you better not say that. It just might happen. Oh, you better not confess that. If you confess victory, it won't come to pass. If you say this, you know, you better watch out what you say, or it's going to happen. Let me tell you, he wants you to keep your mouth shut. You know why? Because you have not, because you ask not. Because if you speak to this mountain, believing in your heart, and say, be thou cast into the sea. Because Jesus said, whatsoever thou sayest, believe it in your heart, it shall come to pass to bring glory. No wonder the devil wants you to stay silent. I say, open your mouth. I say, go to war. It's spiritual war. Quit cowering down. Quit backing up. Oh, yeah, it's a battle. But the only way you're going to get hurt is you try to hide. What y'all doing? Stand up, Steve. Everybody else sit down. What y'all doing? You don't see that giant out there? What y'all doing? You don't see that giant out there? And little old David with a slingshot and a rock. Huh? He said, I love his answer. He never called him a giant. That word never came out of David's mouth. Never one time in the book did David ever say, giant. David said, who is that uncircumcised dog that he would challenge the army of the living God? Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and say, who is that fallen angel? Who is that defeated devil? Who is that toothless lion? That he would come after my marriage, that he would come after my family, that he would come after my children. He's an uncircumcised dog, and I am part of the army of God. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Drive that devil out. You can be seated. There is a kingdom of light. Jesus, our Lord. It's victory over death, hell, and the grave. Yes, victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now, I'll insert this because don't think for a minute that don't mean bad things can happen to you. Dear Lord, they stoned Stephen alive until he was dead. And all he was doing was preaching. Trying to tell them about God. That wasn't Old Testament, folks. That was new. That's our Testament. And we read about going to Hebrews. Sawed asunder. Boiled in oil. If they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. You know who did all of that? Man. Not one demon ever took the life of one single person, saved or unsaved. They don't have the power. God is the giver of life and death. Hold on. So can people die out of their time? Yes. But it's choices. Satan didn't kill them. Either they made a choice or another man made a choice. In this universe, only man can kill man. See how weak that is? Y'all don't believe that. You don't believe that. You've been so stinking convinced how powerful the devil is. Listen, I'm preaching on spiritual warfare. I understand there's spiritual warfare. But I have already preached to you. Men make decisions. And evil comes from within, not from without. Now, Satan can certainly take advantage of these evils. We understand that. And he can certainly manipulate and he can do all of these things. But in the end, man must make that decision. Why do you think they say guns don't kill? Because they don't. Men kill. 20 dead, 42 in the hospital. I don't know what got up in his brain. I don't know how he was programmed, but he was programmed by other men. He was taught by other men. He read what other men wrote. He listened to what other men said. You need to wake up. We, next to God, are the most powerful influence in the universe. We were created in his image. And when you get a hold of that and you stand on your feet and you start making righteous decisions according to the word of God, there is no devil in hell that can stop it. You don't want to hear this mess, and the world don't want to hear this mess because they don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. Devil made me do it. You are a liar. You did it. I did it. I chose. And if God chooses to be merciful and cover my sin, then I will worship him. And if he chooses to expose my sin, I will still worship him. Man, I'm not getting any worse with this. Is this all right so far? Look at your neighbor and say, you make the choice. So we're in a spiritual warfare. What's that all about? I already told you, it's about souls. You see, he has ways and methods, and we're studying and looking at it. He has ways and methods, the Bible says, to blind the eyes of men so that they cannot see, but they still make the choice. We are agents of free will. And so we are sent with what? With the light. Ephesians 1 and 21. Man, I am feeling so much. I got to break this to you. You've got to get this into your spirit or you will always be in bondage. You will always walk in fear that Satan can make you do things or Satan can make people do things against you. That's why people come to me and they say, well, I have a, you know, so-and-so, they put a witchcraft spell on you. I said, no, they didn't. You're not going to make me believe that. I'm going to tell you what gives the power to witchcraft. Your mind. Your mind. What gives power to voodoo? You do. Huh? Ephesians 1:21. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave unto him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are the body of Christ. We have been given power over all things, dominions, powers of darkness, and rulers of wickedness in this world. You and I have power over the devil. Isn't that what Jesus said? I have given you power over all the power of your enemy. I already taught on this, remember? They came running back to him. Oh, Jesus, you're not going to believe this. I'm talking to Jesus. You're not going to believe this. But even the devils are subjected to your name. He went, whoa, don't get excited about that. That's nothing. I saw him fall lightning. When I was ready for him to be gone, no. I'm going to tell you what you need to get excited about. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because that is the greatest miracle that will ever take place on planet Earth. For an eternal soul to be redeemed and filled with the power of God and set free and instantly turned into a mighty warrior of spiritual warfare. It's what spiritual warfare is all about, going out and getting souls. One more time, put your hands together for the Lord. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. I'm so sorry. I can't ever get anywheres with my messages. I got so much here to say. I'm on page 3 of 19 pages. What do you do about that? I could be done in about 6 hours. Is that all right, Stephen? I love that guy. I don't see you much. You live in France, England, Brazil? Dude, I'm going to Brazil in a couple weeks. What part of Brazil? Who? I think I've been there. I haven't been there. That's South Brazil, isn't it? Never mind. I'm going somewhere else. Where am I going? You don't know either? Boy, is Brazil in trouble. We're going to do some conference there in a couple weeks. Pray for us. Missions conference. We're landing in, not Montego Bay. That's Jamaica. Manaus. Come see me. I think it's about 8 hours. Okay. You know what? I'm going to stop right here. Because I'm actually just fixing to get... We talked a little bit about the hierarchy of demonic powers and infiltrated in there. And I'm fixing to get into the kingdom that you and I are a part of. And eventually, in this message, what I really meant to get to today was how you get in this war. Or maybe I should say how you get on the victorious side of this war. Because whether you know it or not, you're in the war. You're in the war. But there is a way to get into the victorious side of this war. Let's stand, if you will. Where You are, what word am I looking for? It's like an army term, armed force term, where you are commissioned. You're commissioned by your commander. And you are given his power and authority. And when you are given his power and authority, you don't go to war in your name. You go to war in his name. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! My Lord, have mercy! That's why David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you. He's like, I'm not coming to fight you in my power, my name. That centurion said, my servant's sick. Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Said, no, don't come to my house. I am a man under authority. I say to this servant, go, you go. He said, like you, I'm a man under authority. The servants weren't doing anything because the centurion said it. The servants were doing it because to whom the centurion was submitted to. Because to disobey the centurion would be to disobey, hit the king. And the centurion said, I see you, Jesus, in the same way. You're here in the flesh, but I know your flesh isn't doing these things. Your human hands are not opening blinded eyes and causing the lame to walk and raising the dead. That's not your human hands. You are submitted to a greater power. He said, and that greater power, that's God, and God's omnipresent. So you just say the word. Because where me and you were going to go, God's already there. Because he's omnipresent. You just say the word. Now here's the flip side of that story. Or the second level of revelation of that story. What the centurion was also really saying, and the reason why the servants feared him so much, is because his king trusted that centurion so much that no matter what command he gave, the king would back it up. That's power. And what this centurion was really saying to Jesus is that whatever comes out of your mouth, that greater power that you're submitted to, it will do it. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when we become a part of this mighty army and we go out to war in the name of Jesus Christ, when we open up our mouths, when we pray in the will of God and we're living in the will of God and we're obeying the word of God and we are walking in the word of God, when we open up our mouths, that greater power will perform in your life and the devil knows it. I want you to stand up straight. Everybody, stand up straight. Put your shoulders back. Put your shoulders back. Some of y'all, every bone in your back cracked when you did that. It's been so long since you squared your shoulders. You've been walking like this. Don't get mad at me. Just stay with me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Oh, no. It's another devil. Will I ever get over this? Will I ever get out? Square them shoulders up. Lift that head up. I'm gonna tell you something else too. I know this is, Jermaine, this is flesh, but I'm going to tell you there's something to it. When you talk to someone, you look them in the eye. Don't you bow your head in intimidation. You're not lesser than anyone. You're a child of the King. Whether it's the governor some commissioner or some wealthy person. You're a child of the King. When you talk to me, when I talk to people, and I say, look at me. I tell them that. Look at me. You're talking to me. Look at me in my eyes. Communicate with me. You're equal. No one here tucks their head, bows their image. That's satanic. To make you think you're lesser than someone. Who you are has nothing to do with your education or the money that's in your bank or the car you drive or the clothes you wear. God loves all of His children the same. Every one of His children is important to Him. As no matter where you go in the world, go into the worst third world country where some mother full of the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name is sitting in the dirt watching her own child suffer of cholera, being sick of some disease or something. It's just God loves her as much as He loves me. Don't tuck your head. Pull them shoulders back, because this will affect you spiritually. Don't let that devil intimidate you. You are covered with the blood. And you are a part of the greatest army on earth. And if you want to know how to become a part of this army, all you have to do is repent of your sins. That means you make an about face. You're saying, devil, goodbye. Devil, goodbye. Okay, how can I say this? I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to give you a little bit of revelation. Plan of salvation. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Now, we know in the Word of God that you can get the Holy Ghost before you're baptized, right? It's the Word of God, or vice versa. However, nowhere is in God's Word can you be baptized and it be effective or receive the Holy Ghost unless you have repented? Hold on. I'm going to hurt you. The devil made me do it, right? Right? The devil made me do it. Is that what you say? Before you ever receive an ounce of power from God, He commands you, to turn your back on Satan and make a decision to walk towards God. You did that. Repent. It's the first thing. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, the devil has no power over you. Except what you give him. Yes, you can yield your mind to Him. You can yield your heart to Him. You can yield your members to Him. The Word of the Lord says that. But you make that choice. He can't make you do it. And He cannot stop you from repenting. He can't stop you from making an about face and walking in the other direction. Before you ever receive any power from God, you turn from the ways of evil. You make a decision. How do I get into this great army? It's easy. All you have to do is receive the name of the King and the power of the King. And you get the name in baptism. That little tank out there, and we bury you in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Terry, where are you? My new Terry. Right there. Last Sunday. Well, you got the Holy Ghost before you got baptized, I believe. It doesn't matter, right? I got a horrible memory. God remembers. But went down in that water in Jesus' name, every sin remitted. Come up out of that water, God filled him with the power of the Holy Ghost. Terry, God's going to do great things in your life. So let... I'm going to use you for an example for a second. Okay. All right. Homeless. He didn't have a place to sleep, food to eat. But when he came out of that water, baptized in the name of Jesus, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost, he stepped right out on the front line of the battle and drew his sword. And because we serve a great God, God said, my kid's not going to sleep on the street tonight. I'm going to give him a place to stay. And I'm going to give him food to eat. Because he's mine now. He's mine. And he's on the battlefield. If you're here today and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I would like to baptize you. Because remember, and I know I haven't gotten to this, but remember, you're in the war. It just depends on which side you're on. But you're in the war. Everyone ever breathed the breath of life is in this war. And the amazing thing about this war and these armies is that you have the right to make a choice to cross sides. And it's not treason. Because the only reason why you're on the other side is because you were captured and brought into bondage. So when you make up your mind you're going to be set free, it's not treason. You're just coming back to the side where you've always belonged. The devil did not breathe the breath of life into you. God did. And he's loved you every breath you've ever taken. I feel an altar call right now. We have time. It's only a little after one. Every eye closed, every mind on God. I wonder if there's somebody here right now, you just want to step out and you say, I'm tired of fighting this battle alone. I'm tired of fighting a losing battle. I'm on the wrong side. I need the power of God in my life. I need the name of Jesus in my life. I need his power. I want to get on the right side of the battlefield. I want to become a part of this great army. And all the damage that Satan has done to me and my family, friends and loved ones, I've got to get on the right side of the army of God. Because I gotta go to war. I gotta go to war. I gotta get the sword of the Spirit. I gotta get the power of God. I gotta go take back what the devil took from me. I gotta go get back. I made some bad decisions. It's time to make good decisions. It's time to make right decisions. It's time for me to wake up and realize Satan has no power over me. And I am going to walk away from everything, every grip he's ever had, everything he's tried to do. I am going to step out from where I am and walk down to that aisle. And I am going to repent of all of my sins before the Lord. And I am going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost into my life. And I am changing my life at this moment, this day, right now. I am changing who I am. I am taking on the name of Jesus. I am receiving the power of my God. And I'm getting back into the battle, but this time I'm going to be on the right side, and I am going to go to spiritual warfare, and I'm going to fight for my marriage, and I'm going to fight for my children. I'm going to fight for my family, my loved ones, my mom, my dad, my siblings, my co-workers, my friends. I am going to war. Let's spend a few minutes in this altar, church. Those of you that will, let's make our way down. Maybe you're standing next to somebody and maybe they just don't want to come pray by themselves. Say, come on, I'll pray with you. No pressure. But if they'd like to come, just bring them down. Come on, we're in war. We're in war. Everybody's in this war. Everybody's in this war. Come on, come get the power. Come on, come get the power. Come get the power. Come be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come let God touch you. Come let God minister to you. Come let God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. I gotta go to war. I gotta go to war. I gotta go to war. I can't sit on the sidelines. Oh, Lord, some of you, maybe we need to come down and be refilled. Maybe you need to come down and rejuvenate the power of God in your life. Come get rejuvenated in the Holy Ghost. Come let God touch you all over again. Come let Him minister to you all over again. Come on, come get refilled, refilled in the Lord. Refilled in the Lord. Pray with these precious people. God, we love you. We love you. People seeking the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. People seeking the power of the Holy Ghost. Seeking the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the name of Jesus. I want the name of Jesus. I want the name of Jesus. I want the power of my God. I want the power of my God. I want to go into war. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Come on, you can win. You can do this. You can do this. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. I'm going to serve God. 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 The devil has no power over me. The devil has no power over me. That's it, church. Help them pray. Help them pray. Help them pray.